That is the, if you can provide yourself with food, and again, they're ice fishing because everything is frozen, and you're looking for fat in the beaver.
Yeah,
the beaver is the beaver is the most sought after.
It is the
Ryan. Do you think you could eat beaver? It's fat and then it's meat.
It made them all sick, though. They all got sick after it.
Well, yes, you can't eat diseased animals.
Oh, God.
What about a moose?
Yeah.
Pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, Taylor.
Hello.
And JC.
Welcome to the resistance.
Indeed. Hey, guys. Welcome to the week that you thought you'd left behind. I haven't said that one in a while. What's new? What's going on?
So when Taylor was on 2 weeks ago, she did a Here's the Thing about... the flock cameras.
Yes.
I think that was only 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And they've been popping up a lot in the news and stuff. But I don't know if you guys, I know you guys are both looking for work, and I'm sure you're signed up with Indeed.
I am.
It's supposed to tailor tailor job opportunities to what you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still getting stuff from Indeed from my stint of unemployment. And, I'm actually applying for jobs where I'm like, oh, that's paying more than I'm currently making. And it's the same job I'm doing, so I'll just go do it.
Do you see those Motorola ones?
Yeah, I've seen the Motorola ones. So I got one the other day that made me think about Taylor because it popped up and it said web designer, blah, 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 blah. And it was paying significantly more than I'm making. Mm. And I was like, ooh. So I hit the button to check out the job. And it was Flock.
Mm-hmm.
And I shut off the link. I shut off the tab immediately. I was like, no.
Why wouldn't you apply? Insider knowledge.
Oh, my God.
Sabotage.
I can't go work for... I've already been a stormtrooper once when Trump was president. So, and I'm a stormtrooper now that Trump is president. So I don't want to be a corporate stormtrooper.
They have some jobs for Motorola. That's a new surveillance mm-hmm. company in Salt Lake that's happening right now, but I'm overqualified because it's like packaging and shipping and handling and like making sure the pieces are all good and stuff. But I'm overqualified, obviously, because I'm actually underqualified because I've never done it in my life. But mm-hmm. they send you to LA for 6 weeks and they bring you home on weekends.
Huh.
And so I applied, but obviously I didn't get it. Because
mm-hmm.
I have no wheelhouse.
I was doing the job search thing before the first show we recorded today, and then in between, I was doing it again. I applied for like 3 marketing specialists, 4 communications directors, a couple of other ones, and a night stalker at a grocery store. I mean, it's just like I am applying for fucking everything, and I cannot get a goddamn fingernail.
That's mm-hmm. because it's not in our, like, if it's not in our field, people aren't taking us serious. Like, they don't think we're serious about these jobs we're applying to because we've been in the same field for so goddamn long.
Yeah.
That they don't think we are actually serious about staying in that one and taking a job without, like, mm-hmm. looking for something else.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I'm fucking hungry.
Yep.
You know?
And then you get the scammers showing up offering you jobs that aren't actual jobs. They'll steal your identity and. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with my identity when I've been unemployed, you know.
But yeah.
it's the lowest of the low to me. And I had so many of those. I think I counted a total. So I was unemployed for, 6 months? And it was 8 scammers within the 6 months I was applying every day. So it was ridiculous. I'm like, what?
Even the scammers are ignoring me. It's hurting my feelings.
Yeah the scammers are annoying me too.
Yeah.
No,
I got one today for DOJ. I don't know if you'd want to work for, if you want to go be a stormtrooper, but it was webmaster technical writer.
I don't know. It's do they drug test for marijuanas?
Not when you are it depends on the contracting company you work for.
Ah, yeah. So
some contracting companies do. Mine didn't. My current one did not. And I worried that because I'd just gotten a care package from Angus when he went through Nevada.
Such a good lad.
And I was like, ooh. And then I had applied. They were having me do my security clearance for public trust. And I was like, I can't take these because I don't know if they're going to make me take a drug test. But they didn't. So I was fine so far.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. You never know. So you'd want to check. I don't know federally because you have a green card. So maybe, you know, the glaucoma green card.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, like federally, it's legal, right? Like it's legal. It is legal federally.
Mm-mm.
No, it's not.
Illegal federally and legal state.
Yeah, it's legal state. So then they take into account. Okay, what are you doing? Is the state does your state allow it? And the majority of states allow it. I don't know why the fuck the Fed. Well, I do know why the fuck the Fed. But the Fed should just make it legal, but they won't because it's currently Republican controlled.
Oh,
so.
I remember. I was thinking about how people got federally charged in California before it became legal there, and they got federal charges because they were already in prison, and then they got caught mm-hmm. again, and blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I got my mix-ups with them being in jail still. Because it's federal charges.
Those are the guys that every time a libertarian was running for president, they said, my first order of business as president will be to pardon everyone who was arrested, who was convicted of drug charges. And I'm like, you could only do it for the federal ones, but there were a fucking lot during the war on drugs because of the minimum sentencing laws. Well, if you got busted again, it would become a federal charge. So, yeah.
Well, it comes down. It's the gentrification of fucking drug dealing, is what it is. Is it's like all the black folks go to prison for it, and then we legalize, and it's all white folks that are running all the dispensaries and grow farms and all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's disgusting. It's really
and we legalize it, and meanwhile, these people are still in jail.
Yeah,
and minimum sentencing laws had them in jail. Without the possibility of parole for longer than rapists, burglars, and murderers in many cases.
How else are you going to keep these private prisons funding other people?
Right?
That's fair.
If you have a drug conviction and you're in prison, it's less likely you'll be on drugs and they can make you work for free.
Well, yeah. This is the whole thing. It's like that we have private prisons because slavery isn't allowed.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Slavery is illegal.
I did a talk on that at the Drinking Liberally. How many years ago?
Fuck, that was a minute ago.
That was easily a decade ago, if not more, because Forrest was still with us.
Well, that was Alec.
Yeah.
When Alec was in town, we got pulled in for Drinking Liberally to do that. And then we did that super embarrassing live podcast. that nobody showed up to. We did it in an empty room. When I edited it later, I put background noise in because there were too many echoes. Yeah. And the only way to make it listenable was to put a crowd, just a shuffling crowd noise behind it. And yeah, that was, that was when we lost. We ended up losing our first contributor. I'm not going to go into the story if you were around at the time, because they're a different person now. I don't feel like besmirching their who they are now. But yeah, that one was annoying. Remember, Forrest was mad.
I stopped paying any attention to them after that experience. So,
Yep. No, Alec. I mean, they're still a fucking thing. We didn't get rid of them. They didn't go away. They're still writing shitty legislation.
They're still letting corporations are still writing legislation that they're pushing onto Republicans.
Yeah.
And it's why it's one of the reasons why Republicans have to desperately cling to power, because they don't have any good ideas. All their good ideas come from corporations, and we're pissed at the corporations. We're done with it as a populace, and they have to keep running their ALEC legislation and make it look like it came out of their ass, not out of some corporate's ass.
Tiffany apologizes for not being with us today. She's having many seizures. We went a couple days without, and you just start getting your hopes up. So that happened, or is happening.
That's when the other shoe drops. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything has been the worst fucking month. I'm not kidding. I think I've made maybe $300 this month, and it's just driving me nuts. I just, even freelancing is 10 times harder than it used to be. It used to be pretty simple to pick up enough to just fucking get by, and we've had some lean months the last couple of years, but this one has just been fucking brutal. So
and the job of the future, gigging, turns out that it's more expensive to gig than it is to do the job.
Oh yeah. Yeah, when I was doing Uber, it cost me more in gas than I was making. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing DoorDash, it was costing me more in gas than I was making. Mm-hmm. And I don't get that shitty a gas mileage in my car. I get 28. Pretty much on average, so I don't know.
So if you're listening to the Left Show, hop on over to YouTube and find us on YouTube and run the video. You can do it without sound if you want to.
In the background.
Share, and subscribe. Where we monetize these, but when no one's watching, YouTube doesn't have any reason to send us money. So we need more people watching.
Yeah, I'd prefer they went to Patreon, where it's a little more immediate. But no, I like your long-term thinking, pal.
You're thinking ahead. Thinking ahead. I'm like, if you're not going to do Patreon, come on and do YouTube. I want to get us monetized on YouTube.
Yeah.
I watch too many people making money on YouTube, and I'm like, well, we should be making money on YouTube.
We need better clips.
Yep.
Yeah, everything we do is dire and sad and angry making. We need more comedy.
Wasn't that the point of this show?
Apparently, I try to be funny, but I just can't quite get there.
Can't quite get there.
And if you would like a t-shirt that says that I'm not funny, there's one available. Pop over to theleftshow.com, click on the little t-shirt there that says Garb Your Temple, and you can find all of the fun designs for all of the Defenestrate Media shows, including my favorite and only one-star review.
What's the word? What is it?
It basically, Jeff's not funny.
Oh.
Jeff's not funny. The show is boring. I don't care for it. Mm-hmm. All the rest are fives with 1-4. And then there's this one dude who just doesn't like us and let us know about it a couple of years ago. And I was like, well, I'm putting that on a t-shirt, which I did this week. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perfect.
Let's do a little news. We're kind of into it a little bit. We got a lot to cover today. The California Senate, unlike the majority of other states, pulled its head out of its ass and voted 38-0 to finally close the child marriage loophole. Isn't that exciting?
The word finally is really doing a lot of heavy lifting there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, California is currently one of only three states in the country, including Mississippi and New Mexico, that has no minimum age at all for marriage, allowing a child of any age to be legally wed as long as a parent or a guardian signs off. And so somebody put together a bill that was designed to close that loophole for good, and it finally passed. Finally is the word for me. Finally passed the Senate unanimously, which is nice. It's Assembly Bill 1267. This was put together by Assembly Member Gail Pellerin, and it would eliminate every legal exception that currently allows minors to marry in California. So it's got to go back to the Assembly from the Senate, and then it can go to Newsom's desk. And he's, I believe, said that he will sign that into law the very minute it gets there. And it finally establishes a hard floor to being the age of 18 before you get married. And I'm
even Utah has minimum age requirements.
Yeah, but I think they're like 14.
Oh, they're very young. In order, you know, to do it without parental consent, but they do require parental consent up until 18. And I think, if I remember right, my brother, who's 22 years older than me, when he wanted to get married at 20, he couldn't without a parent signing off on it.
How old was he?
20. 20 years old.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up. I am looking it up.
He met this girl, and they decided to elope. She was turning 18, still in school, and they drove down to Vegas, got down to Vegas. Vegas said, no, you can't get married. You're both too young for us to marry you.
Yeah.
And so they turned around and came home. He took her home, but because they'd driven all night to get down to Vegas, her dad decided she was now a loose woman and would not let her back in the house. So
she tried to do it right. Her heart was in the right place.
So they drove to my mom's house. My mom's like, well, they were driving all night. They didn't have time to do nothing. And so the next day my mom went down to the courthouse with him, and because his wife was still of the age, but he wasn't. They were able to get married. But yeah, she went down to the courthouse with him, was their witness, and gave permission and shit. So it might have been a Vegas thing, but it was just funny. You can't elope at 20 back in the 60s, apparently. So.
Nice. Yeah.
That's interesting.
So in Utah, it's 18 or older, you don't need parental or court approval. 16 or 17, you can marry with parental guardians or parental or guardian consent and authorization from a juvenile court judge, not an underage judge. If we don't have those. This isn't Nickelodeon. Under 16, marriage is not permitted in Utah.
That's interesting.
There's also, if you're trying to get married at 16 or 17, there's a 4-year maximum age difference for a court to authorize marriage involving a 16 or 17 year old.
Interesting.
Yeah. So basically there was a new law that passed this year that makes unlawfully marrying a minor a third degree felony for an adult. That's not enough, but there it is. Yeah.
You can't be in your mid-20s and marry a 16-year-old.
Right.
Date someone your own age, you know?
Right.
It's creepy.
Just because they don't. What else do we got? The FBI went after Swalwell. Outstanding. Good job, FBI. Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you guys have heard of this thing called the Epstein Files.
Yeah.
But
do you think it's because they're mad that Stephen Miller's wife was fucking him before Elon Musk and then got to Stephen Miller?
I think that might be something. I think it might also be that Trump fucking hates him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But good targeting. That's all I can say. I mean, hello, you're going after the right guy, even if it is for political. I know it's for political reasons, and Swalwell can claim political persecution, but in the end, it's like, dude, you're still guilty. You're still a piece of shit. So,
yeah, you're a garbage person. It just happens that we have all of these files where FBI agents went in and got to scribble black marker over the names of the other creepos and offenders. And maybe this is practice. Maybe after you're done with Swalwell, you can move on to those fucking Epstein files.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of the Epstein files, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to jump in the Jerry Falwell bus here and just blame Trump for doing it. But the Epstein Files advocate, Marcy Kaptur, was injured in a hit and run.
Oh.
Yep. Ah. She's an Ohio congresswoman who fought for the release of the top secret Epstein files. She was nearly killed in a horrific hit and run, sparking speculation that the crash was no accident as the Epstein body count grows. Hospitalized. Yeah. That's not. She was on her way to church.
Hmm.
80 years old, too.
Yep.
So, but not 80 like Trump is 80. You know, she seemed a little more spry than old Trump. So, yeah, that's funny. Oh, man, that sucks.
And then to wrap up this segment, Senator John Ossoff gave, and I mean this in a wonderful way, a powerful speech a couple of days ago. It was like Obama plus. It was so fucking good.
It was a really good one. Yeah.
And he's, I mean, there were a lot of heavy hits in that one, but basically he highlighted the president's close relationship with this aide, Natalie Harp, which I don't think they're banging, even though she looks just like his daughter and he probably wants to bang her. I think she's the diaper changer. I think she's the care nurse. I think she's the mobile hospice.
So I watched an interview, and it was like a legit one, with her brother, and apparently she's done this to presidents before. Like, she used to write George Bush letters like this. And I know she's really young, but she used to, he's like, she used to write him love letters, and they were super weird.
Was she like 7 when Bush was president, and she's just writing these?
But the guy was like, she was obsessed with Bush.
Oh my God.
She was obsessed with Republicans.
And the letter was like, those letters were, I'm like, wow, girl. I mean, if this is not reciprocated, but yeah, I mean, she was like, when he jumped in the catering truck to change planes and, you know, doom everybody on Air Force One, she was one of the people he made sure was in the truck with him. So
yeah, diaper changer, and of course she would be because she's obsessed with him.
She's got the diaper bag.
She's just obsessed with him.
Yep. Okay.
But yeah, it was. Ossoff gave a great speech, and the one thing that came out of it was we all started paying attention to who Trump's aide is.
Oh my God! Did you watch the? Did you see the picture of her running behind his golf carts?
Yes.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, because she's like, I didn't know. Like, she wrote him an apology letter saying, like, I didn't know. Like, I heard everybody was walking. That's why I didn't have the golf cart. And she's like running behind them, like a fleet of golf carts.
Yeah,
so funny.
And then when later they said, hey, can you keep doing that? Because we don't have enough golf carts for everybody.
Yeah,
that wants one. So she wound up having to constantly walk behind the golf carts. Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back on the other side, look, here's the thing and more news.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
And we don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
There is something that I read. I cannot for the life of me remember where it was, but basically one of Trump's golf buddies, this may have been Lindsey Graham who said it.
It was Lindsey Graham. Yeah.
Yeah. That his golf cart, Trump's golf cart, is faster than the other one, so he can get up there and drop balls where he wants them as opposed to where he hit them.
Oh, yeah.
So Natalie wasn't running. She was sprinting after the golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She got her cardio in that day. She definitely got her cardio in that day.
Yeah. Wasn't just getting your steps. I mean, she was pushing it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I fully still, like, she's definitely a diaper guy because she is willing to do it, desperate.
Oh, she'd be completely willing. Yeah, she is desperate to do it. She really is.
Ugh. Ugh. I didn't have a problem. I didn't have a problem. You know, more than a couple of times. I think you guys probably have gone through this as well. There were a couple of times where the diaper changing of the kids was just too much. You know, something they ate, something went weird, and it just triggers. But most of the time, 99.9% of the time, that's fine. Change a diaper, big deal. People, babies aren't people. They're babies. You know, cleaning up people. I don't think I got it in me. I don't think I got it in me.
I don't want to have it in me.
As it were. Ugh.
Absolutely not.
Honestly, if I get to the point where it's, you know, I got to have a diaper and have it changed, I'll tell Angus, just put me in a home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's pay someone to do this. Because this is not, I don't want you touching me.
I don't want you to see what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Like, this isn't going to be good for either of us.
I may have wiped the blowouts off your back when you were a baby. I don't want you doing that for me.
But it's ounces versus pounds.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's tablespoons versus cups, you know?
So gross.
Oh.
So gross. Ugh. All right, gang, it's time to weigh in, to get up on our Apple box and yell in the street corner. It's time for Look. Here's the thing. Somewhere between the panic, the hot takes, and a Russian bot with 3 followers, there are the facts. Reality is sitting quietly in the corner, waiting for someone, anyone, to ask a follow-up question. That's what we're here for. It's time for Look. Here's the thing. Look, here's the thing that scares me about the 2026 midterms. It's more than just Donald Trump. It's what happens when a president decides that the rules are optional. The states are an inconvenience and the courts are something to argue with. And an election is only legitimate if he likes the way it turned out. Because it's important to be really clear on something. The president does not own American elections. The Constitution gives states the major role in determining how federal elections are administered, with Congress having the power to regulate them. The president has no magical election button. And yet we're watching the federal government push deeper and deeper into the machinery of elections. And we're talking about executive orders affecting voting procedures. We're talking about attempts to obtain sensitive voter information. We're talking about pressure on states over election administration, and we're talking about restrictions on mail-in voting. And while we're talking about a president openly entertaining the idea of extraordinary measures around the midterms, and you might say, well, the courts will stop him. Have you noticed an East Wing on the fucking White House anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because democracy isn't supposed to work by having one person push the boundaries of presidential power until a judge says, well, that's okay, that's far enough. The guardrails are supposed to work well before we get to the cliff.
Yes.
And that's where it gets even more dangerous. And we're entering an election cycle where Americans increasingly do not know what information they can trust. AI can manufacture videos. It can manufacture voices. It can manufacture political advertisements. It can manufacture polling data. And just this week, we watched a fake polling operation successfully inject fabricated numbers into the political conversation before being exposed. And so a fake video appears showing a candidate saying something that they never said. A fake poll tells voters that their candidate's 12 points ahead. A fake social media account creates the appearance that thousands of people are furious about something when only five or six give a shit. Mm-hmm. A rumor spreads that polling places are going to be unsafe. Another one says that voting machines are rigged. And another one says that the election has already been stolen. And by the time anybody figures out what's true, millions of people have already seen it. And that's the core of the danger, because you don't necessarily have to steal an election if you can convince enough people that the election can't be trusted. And that's why I keep coming back to one central question, and that is, can Americans tell what's real anymore? Because if we can't agree on basic facts, we're incredibly vulnerable to anybody willing to manufacture them. And this is why the midterms are going to become so fucking important, is the 2026 election isn't just Democrats versus Republicans. It's about whether the president is allowed to keep accumulating power while Congress is basically flaccid. It's about whether states can administer their own elections without political coercion from D.C. It's about whether courts remain independent enough to say no when presidents overreach, and it's about whether election officials can do their jobs without becoming targets. And flatly, it's about whether voters can actually figure out what the fuck is true before they walk into a voting booth. And this is the part that I wish more people would understand. It's not a Democratic Party problem. If you believe in limited government, states' rights, separation of powers, individual liberty, you should be deeply uncomfortable with the concentrated federal power, regardless of which party controls the White House, because eventually the person wielding that power won't be the person that you voted for. And that's how constitutional government's supposed to work. We don't build safeguards because we trust the person currently in charge. We build safeguards because we don't know who's going to be running the show next. So yeah, I'm worried about Trump. But I'm even more worried about what happens when we normalize the idea that presidential power has no meaningful limits. Once we normalize that, the question isn't whether the next president will use that power. The question is what they're going to use it for. And so, you know, as we approach the midterms, that's what we're voting on. It's not just candidates and it's not just parties. It's guardrails. And maybe more importantly, whether we still have enough shared reality left to recognize when the guardrails are being torn down. I will still vote blue no matter who. But I know what I'm voting for. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I'm done.
It just, the... I don't think people understand, like, we are stuck with some of these politicians until we get rid of Trump. Like, I don't think they understand that we're stuck with Hakeem Jeffries until we get rid of Trump, or Cory Booker, until we get rid of Trump.
Yeah.
You think that we're going to throw somebody in there? Like,
right?
If it's like, no, we're still going to vote for them, mm-hmm. even though we don't necessarily like them, we're still going to have to vote for them. Because if you want better, then you have to clean up this mess.
Yeah.
But okay, go off and don't vote blue because you're a little bitch who thinks everybody's a Zionist or a MAGA or anti, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I saw a meme the other day that said, I understand the Democrats have disappointed you in recent years. And you know, your choices between candidates who disappoint you and candidates who are going to completely undermine the entire foundation of the United States and turn us into a totalitarian fascist regime. I understand. You've got, you know, it's a tough choice to make. Yeah. No, you don't have. They're going to disappoint you. Politicians always fucking disappoint you.
There is not a perfect politician except for Mamdani.
Mm-hmm. AOC's pretty close.
Right.
Yeah, she's pretty close.
Yeah.
AOC, Mamdani.
For what she can do, she is close to perfect.
Bernie's perfect, except Mamdani he's old.
Bernie says robot.
Yeah.
When he talks about AI, robot. He says robot. And it's like, buddy, seriously, get a staffer to do this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, Mamdani has very small area that he takes care of, and that's why he's the perfect one.
He's so AMC fucking good.
Is he's very so, close to perfect because she can only do so much too.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're actually going to talk about him in a minute. In fact, I will move that one forward just because it hits. But he rides his bicycle everywhere he goes.
Yes.
Right? And he does it in the suit, his big old smile. And basically the internet was like, hey, Zoran, where's your fucking helmet? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people brought it up. And he's like, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. I'm still learning. I'm getting a helmet. It was a wonderful little video, you know, of him.
Influencer thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Putting on a little helmet. And he looked adorable. And now he wears a helmet when he rides his bicycle because that's the smart thing to do as we, mm-hmm. you know, especially the Gen Xers realized that riding without a helmet was pretty fucking stupid back in the day, considering all the bullshit that I did on bicycles. So
yeah, they look dorky.
Of course, the right wing lost their fucking minds about it. Mm-hmm. They're just like, oh my God, Sharia law. And I'm like, Sharia law has nothing to do with bike helmets.
There's
fucking
no
idiots.
Sharia law. He isn't telling everybody to wear a fucking helmet. He was saying, you're right. I'm learning. I'm going to wear a helmet now because I have to set an example. You know, he did the things that the GOP never does. One, he admitted he was wrong. Two, he admitted he could learn something from his voters and constituency. And three, he decided he would be a good example for people instead of a shitty example.
There's a quote or, you know, a response on social media that I liked that reads, first in my bloodline to hear a politician say, you're right, I've got to do better. I honestly feel like witnessing a politician simply say, you're right, I've got to do better, just healed something within me. It's so easy to do, and yet so few people, not just politicians, have the humility to do it. And that
yeah.
is, I just,
yeah,
I watched the video and was like, oh yeah, I guess, because look, I'm new to helmets.
That's
I don't know
true.
Why it's cracking me up, but
you
I
were a motorcycle rider for a long time.
Yeah, the only time I wore my helmet when I rode a bike when I was in my youth was when it was snowing, which should tell you how often I should have been wearing a helmet. But yeah, and when I had my bike in the early 2000s, I was wearing my hair in a pompadour. And to be honest, getting out of the shower, doing my hair, getting on the bike, riding to work, that kind of windswept go, it looked really good. And so I didn't wear my helmet because I didn't want to muss my hair because I'm a fucking idiot. And then one day, one of my kids told me that she would like it if I wore a helmet. Because she wanted her daddy alive, because she knew that accidents happened to motorcycles, because some fucking busybody teacher in school told her all about helmets. And I'm like, okay, I'll wear a helmet.
Or just, you know, fucking reality that bad shit happens to motorcyclists and scooter riders and
yep.
Bicyclists. Like, the thing I praise is Mondami's willing to ride his bicycle to work. When he's like one of the most targeted politicians in this country right now.
Yeah.
And he's out on a bicycle without body armor, you know? Like,
fuck it. He's probably moving faster than traffic.
On the Pope Mobile.
Yeah, but he's probably moving faster than traffic.
No shit. I'm sure he is in New York. But yep. Yeah, it's just funny that he's like, no, I'm going to ride my bike to work every day in a suit, waving at people, smiling. And I'm like, yeah, that is bravery, dude, because there's some fuckers who want you dead.
Yep. Yeah. He's a tough guy. Mm-hmm. Representative Randy Fine from Florida, I'll bet you can guess what party he's in, denied that it was him on a constituent's porch, fucking around with the stuff that was there, going through their mail, everything else, even though the Ring camera shows him. What he said was, I knocked on 500 doors in the last few days. In the last week, there's been videos of me with horns growing out of my head, videos of me dressed like a cheerleader, videos of me putting a swastika on my arm. I don't even know that it's real. I certainly don't remember doing that. I don't even know if the video's real. Video's real. Sport. I've seen it a couple of times now, and it's you on a porch breaking federal law by going into somebody's mailbox and flipping around.
Rifling through their mail.
Yeah.
You know, because they had one of those porch mailboxes you can just flip through the letters.
That's against the law.
TMZ reached out and they got a hold of his staff and his staff confirmed it. They were like, no, that's him.
Yep.
No, that's him. They didn't even stop to think, oh, maybe we shouldn't say anything. They just said, oh, no, that's him.
Yeah. And now it's all, no, it must be AI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10 years right, ago, Randy. It would have been, oh, AI. It's Photoshop.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right, Randy.
And then finally, for this segment, Disney celebrated a very successful year, 2026, by kicking employees' spouses off their health care plans. A new report alleges Disney will no longer cover spouse benefits if the spouse has a job that offers benefits as well, even if those benefits are worse.
Employers like that.
Come on, Mouse. Yeah.
They're not making.
I've worked for employers like that who I could forgive doing that because I knew there wasn't a big revenue stream coming in. This is fucking Disney. They could fucking do it. They could give me insurance without having any spouse on their fucking payroll.
You know? Yep. I mean,
they could afford it.
Spider-Man Brand New Day just crossed the $2 billion mark.
Mm-hmm.
It joins Toy Story 5 as two of the three biggest movies of the year. They're making money hand over fist with everything they do.
Yeah.
You know, but Disney's new CEO, Josh D'Amaro, who took over for Bob Iger, who just bought the LA Lakers with Jared Kushner as little brother.
Yeah.
Notified more than 200,000 employees that as of 2027, they can no longer enroll their spouses in the company insurance plan if the spouse can get benefits from another job. That's look, in all of the American traditions of baseball, apple pie, and mom's homemade root beer, one of those is that when you and your spouse are both working, you pick the best insurance program and that's the one you pay into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Americana. So here is Disney going, you know what? Fuck tradition with your shitty healthcare plan. We're going to make it worse.
It's not surprising that Disney would do that.
Oh, it's so fucked up.
It's not, and it's funny.
Didn't that lady die on a Disney cruise? And since she has Disney Plus and signed something like the consent forms for Disney Plus, they didn't.
Yeah, they had a bodily injury rider or something in the Disney Plus contract for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, well, sorry she died, like, but it's not our fault.
Dude, it's how they get you. They know nobody's going to read a EULA. Nobody is going to read a EULA.
No.
And so they just, they put that shit in there and they're like, any, you know, if you go to a Disney theme park and you get hurt, you can't sue us now because you signed an end user license agreement for Disney Plus. It's like, dude, me being part of Disney Plus has nothing to do with my, you know, going to your fucking park and getting injured.
I don't remember how the court found on that one.
Yeah.
Not either.
Yeah, I have to look that one up in the break.
It's a hard one. It's a hard one to figure out. But I mean, at the same time, they made the news this week. Well, ABC made the news, but it's a Disney company made the news that they're going to sue the Trump administration for their First Amendment rights and for violating their First Amendment rights. And I'm like, so on the one hand, we've got Disney doing something great, and on the other hand, we've got this shit.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of breaks, we're going to take one. When we get back on the other side, the rest of the news. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
I'm not entirely sure how to start this segment. You know, to do the bullshit blather that we do at the beginning of each segment so that we don't run short. But basically, there are new things that pop up. And they distract us from old problems that we still have. And yep. One of those is third country deportations, where a dude from Mexico comes into the United States and gets picked up by ICE because he's not white. And then he's sent to somewhere like fucking Guatemala or Honduras, mm-hmm. as opposed to back to fucking Mexico where he's from.
Drop them off. We used to drop them right back over the border.
Yeah.
And the concern was recidivism, but I don't like this one.
Yeah. More than 2,300 Mexicans have been sent to Guatemala and Honduras in third country deportations. This is all Stephen Miller's making Trump do it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is just this year.
Yeah.
2,300 Mexicans to Guatemala or Honduras. According to official data, the shift from the beginning of Trump's second term, when they weren't doing it as often, until now, Mexicans deported from the United States were sent almost exclusively back to their country, either by airplane or by bus. Only a handful arrived in other countries, and people are noticeably upset about it. I would guess most especially those Mexicans that were sent back to other countries. Now, Honduras isn't the land of blood and murder the way that it used to be, mm-hmm. but, you know, if I got picked up while in a foreign country and sent to a now third foreign country that I've never been to, I imagine things would be pretty fucking difficult. You know, if I got arrested in England and they dropped me off in fucking Portugal, I would know no one. I wouldn't speak the local language. I wouldn't have any money. I wouldn't have any documents, apparently. And, you know, I'd be fucking lost, hungry, and homeless with no fucking idea how to get my ass back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, hats off to Guatemala when the planes arrive, because they're usually with Guatemalan refugees that they're bringing back.
Yeah,
they flag anybody who's Mexican, and they're like, "Okay, we're gonna get you home," and they basically get them over the Mexican border. They work with Mexico to get them over there. They're like, "No, we're gonna get you home. Don't worry about it. You're covered."
Well, and that's the southernmost border, and Mexico's pretty fucking huge. I mean, it'd basically be if I got picked up somewhere and they dropped me off in fucking Florida with nothing.
Yeah.
I'd still be pretty hosed.
No, it's because on the one hand, if you were in a foreign country, you always have the option of going to your embassy.
Yep.
But mm-hmm. or a consulate. But if you're in your own country, you'd be, especially in this country. You'd be throwing yourself on the mercy of strangers, and it just doesn't always work out for you.
Yeah. But on the other hand, there's a pretty good chance the stranger you run into in Guatemala or Honduras isn't MAGA. So
yeah.
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 Pretty good chance.
Yeah, it's just nuts. It just drives me fucking nuts. You know, I've worked in services before. I've worked in kitchens. I've worked in hotels. I've worked in landscaping. And I have dealt with folks that were paperless before and never had a fucking problem. When I landscaped, I was a landscape foreman out in Colorado for a couple of years, and I had one Hispanic crew and two white crews, and there was this development called Stroh Ranch, and it was just hundreds of fucking houses that needed front yards, and my Hispanic crew could knock out 2.5 yards a day, and my white crews would do about a half a yard a day. And so I remember these guys were getting paid $4.50 an hour. It's roundabout minimum wage. And I went to the owner of the company and was like, hey, can I get my guys up to $7 an hour? He's like, oh, I don't know, this and that and the other and illegal and this and that and blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, they're knocking out 2.5 yards to every 1 yard the two white crews are doing. I'm like, bump them up to $7 an hour. I'll bet you they're doing 3 yards a day. And so they did. We got the raises for them. This was in my second summer with them. Everybody bumped up to, I think it was $7.25 an hour. And not only did I never have to buy lunch again, these which almost killed me, because I have a very Anglo-Saxon palate. But I never had to buy lunch again. These guys, knowing how stupid I was, didn't try and teach me Spanish. They learned more English to communicate with me better. You know, on my birthday, they took me to I'm going to say the word wrong, quinceañera. Mm-hmm. That I'd never been to one of those before for one of the guy's daughters. And he's just like, you know, jefe, your family, you took care of us when nobody else would, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, these are the greatest people I have ever known. I love them. You know, and I still had to deal with my fucking white crews who were just lollygagging around the goddamn job site all fucking day. You know, I don't understand. I honestly cannot wrap my head around the hate for people that are shorter than me and browner than me.
You know, Stephen Miller was a kid. His mom moved them to L.A. or somewhere in Southern California. And apparently it was in a mostly Latino neighborhood, and he got beat up all the time.
Well, he probably had it coming because he's a fucking weirdo.
I was going to say, if he wasn't such a little fucking bitch.
He absolutely had it coming. And I'm sure he mouthed off more than once and got his mouth smacked for it. So basically this has all been just his revenge on the bullies of his childhood. I mean, have you watched him act, you know, go on about being a tough guy and everything on
no.
When he goes on the news? And it's like, dude, you're not a tough guy when your voice goes up like this when you're fucking mad.
I could take that guy out.
I try and listen to him as little as possible.
With a hearty sneeze.
You could.
Yeah. It would be as old as I am now and as much as all the bendy parts on me hurt.
Yeah.
I have no... No, and you know what, MAGA, you guys who listen to this to take shits on me, tell him. I'll climb in a ring with Stephen Miller. You bet. I'll tie one fucking arm behind my back. My left arm, I'm in my 50s. But still, you know, I could take Stephen Miller. That's no problem. And I'd be happy to. Let's go, tough guy, you alpha male bitch. Come on. I just,
two
you
shoulder
know,
injuries, I would not have any fear of taking him on. Yeah.
Here's the thing about...
I'll take him on. I don't care.
There you go.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. it's these alpha male guys who say that they are more manly than other men are perhaps unintentionally supporting the idea that gender's on a spectrum. And this part of the spectrum, they're like, this is where the mightiest men are, and then this is where the Democrats are, and here's where the sissy boys are, and here's where these are, and this, they're all they're doing is just reinforcing that gender is a spectrum.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's very progressive of MAGA. Way to go,
we
guys.
Are the least feminine. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You tell me that, but you seem to be happy every time you get arrested. Ooh, jail joke. No, it's seriously, it's if you got to tell me how manly you are.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not.
You're not.
No,
you're really not.
It's ridiculous.
I just say that's great. Hey, what's your skincare routine? You know, and see what they how they answer.
I do an ageless moisturizer with an SPF in it, just in case I accidentally wander outside. And then I got some other stuff for my eyes. And I'm manly enough to admit that I moisturize because I'm aging and I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not. I don't enjoy this. Every time I look in the mirror, I'm like, come on! What the fuck?
Yeah. Mine's a SPF 30 moisturizer I get from Harry's.
Yeah, SPF, very important. You know,
yeah.
It's
like, I don't like getting a burned nose or cheeks. So, yeah.
Well, I don't care for the cancer.
No.
No, which I still need to take care of here at some point. I've got to get some insurance because I can't afford to get all this shit cut out of me right now. And I try not to worry about it. I try not to think about it. But I do. I'm a little obsessed with it and how helpless I am to do anything about it at this particular point in my life. It's freaking me out. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be like the head of the Utah Olympic Committee just passed away over the weekend at 58 years old. I don't know of what. I don't know anything. But it's like I don't want to be that story with an age that is less than my father's when he died. I'd like to outlive my dad.
I've said many a times, I wish to outlive my father. Yes.
Yeah. Not in the mood. Not in the mood, folks. Speaking of not in the mood, our military, the United States military, was off doing what they do, which is sometimes bombing other countries full of brown people that we don't agree with, or military exercises with our allies. Now, one ally that we do military exercises with quite often, just to sort of keep our foot in the region, is South Korea. Because there's a lot in that area that's kind of fucked up, including, I don't know, what's the name? North Korea.
Mm, yeah. I've heard of them.
Kim Jong-un.
We inserted ourselves into a civil war back in 1950, and we need to keep our agreements, basically, is what they've been doing.
Yeah. So Kim Jong-un called up Trump and was like, you know, I'm super uncomfortable with you guys doing military exercises with your ally. Mm-hmm. Of 70 plus years now. And so Trump canceled the military exercises, mm-hmm. totally scaled them back because the brutal dictator of North Korea, this fat faced little chunk nugget, is like, I don't care for what you're doing down there. At which point the president of the United fucking States of fucking America should have been like, I don't care. I'm America.
Yeah.
I get to go military anywhere I want. Take a look at Iran. And instead he's like, oh, we're in love. I'll do whatever my sweet little chunk nugget wants.
Yeah. They're hostile to North Korea. And besides, South Korea won't help me in my fight with Iran.
Yep. What did he say? Based on my very good relationship with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, I am not happy with the fact that the United States has long ago agreed to participate in joint military exercises with South Korea. These exercises are not only costly, with much of the cost paid for by the United States of America. It's because we're training our guys. We're training our guys. This is how you learn. You do. You learn by doing. You don't understand that because you've never learned anything, Donald Trump. You learn by doing. Mm-hmm. It's important. He said, but send a signal that is totally inappropriate and hostile to a country that, as long as Donald J. Trump has been president, has been unthreatening and respectful. Well, except for shooting missiles over fucking Japan.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Which Trump just ignored.
Yeah. Oh, he's so gross. Mm-hmm. He's just such a festering boil. Bill Cassidy, Republican senator, said, and I'm so sorry, RFK misled me to get my confirmation vote.
Sure.
The guy's got not only a worm in his head and a previous heroin addiction, but is not a doctor, mm-hmm. and you put him in the doctor job.
Yeah.
You put him in the job where a doctor is supposed to go, and instead you got a guy who is wildly anti-vax. It's heavily noted. It's heavily documented. Even other Republicans were like, this dude's bad news. And he's like, well, he said he'd behave. You know, I'll just ignore all the Supreme Court justices that also lied in front of Congress and just give it to him. And now he's like, yeah, it's pretty evident he misled me.
God.
Yeah, think, Bill. Yeah, think. Oh, my God. Yeah. Fuck Bill Cassidy.
Fuck Bill Cassidy. Or don't, because he doesn't deserve it.
No, he didn't earn it.
He did not. That's it. My favorite one, my favorite little piddle pants whiner, mm-hmm. Utah Senate president, who lost in a primary, mm-hmm. Stuart Adams lost his primary, so he's a lame duck now. But what he's doing is threatening to sue four people that said mean things about him, including state auditor Tina Cannon, for statements his attorneys say were false and defamatory about his role in the approval of a controversial Box Elder data center and changing a law that benefited a relative charged with statutory rape, and also relocating the auditor's office, which of all of the things I don't really give a shit about. But yeah, three letters dated August 13th and obtained by the Salt Lake Tribune were sent to four people demanding they retract their allegedly defamatory statements within 14 days of receiving the letters, or Adams is, quote, prepared to promptly take all steps necessary to protect his rights. You already lost. Okay, put on some dry pants. Go ahead and put on a fakie, put on a Depends like your hero Donald yep. Trump wears. But from what I understand, cannot stop a blowout.
Probably not.
No.
He looks like he's been doubling up lately.
Yep.
Yeah. The number of different, well, we pretty much stuck to Huggies, but still, they were supposed to hug it, and no, blowouts happen. We're all parents, we know.
There is nothing short of duct tape that'll stop a blowout.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't think duct tape's strong enough to stop a good blowout.
I don't think so.
Tina Cannon says, I refuse to be bullied by President Adams, and I certainly won't be bullied by Mr. Adams. Nice! Nailed it!
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. No notes.
Yeah.
Well done.
I love it. But that is it, guys. We're at the end of the show. Everything else we talk about is going to move over to Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia. Every week that we record, we put special content over there for our Patreon family. Look, it is a low-cost way to get an introduction to the behind-the-scenes of all of the shows here on Defenestrate Media, including the world's greatest comic book podcast, I Told You So, and Gen Zex. Which is funny. It is the world's greatest multi-generational pop culture podcast every week here on theleftshow.com. You can listen to it. That's at Defen Media, patreon.com/DEFENmedia. But that's it, gang. How you doing? How do you feel? Did we do it?
Good.
Do we do a good job?
I think we did a good job.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and say thank you to Taylor.
Glad to be here.
Thank you to JC.
You're welcome, America.
And we will see you next week.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DefenMedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.